But fortunately for us, we've got Carlos Wayne Anderson with us again. It's called, there he is! Wow, looking beautiful. Praise God.
Yeah, God.
Carlos. Hey.
Hey, buddy.
How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. I'm so grateful to be in service with you and our Unity family of New York. I just am so grateful. I've been looking forward to this all week.
Well, me too. And I know a lot of people have. And what a blessing that we get to keep blessing each other and staying connected.
Yes, and, sir.
And I'm loving our staying in touch with each other and seeing you continue to be healed and whole. And you look magnificent, like the picture of health.
Ah, okay.
The picture of God. God is, I am, and you are.
So yes.
Take it away, Brother Carlos. I love you.
Hey. Oh, brothers and sisters, how grateful I am to be with you today. Just a quick catch up. My healing process continues. And as I told you last time, it continues more slowly and gradually than I expected it to, because I tend to think that my body is as old as I feel inside. I feel about 40 inside, but my body has been here since 1951. It's about to be 69 years in October that my body's been here. So I've been reminded by my surgeons and my doctors and my caregivers that it just takes a while. It takes a while. I will probably be experiencing some pain and some dizziness and some being off kilter or not being able to do the things that I'm accustomed to doing for a while. But I got to tell you, I am just so glad to be here in the healing process. My accident has reminded me of something that I think it's so easy for us to forget. And that is that being alive is awesome. Being alive is awesome. Being here in the land of the living. Are there challenges? Yes, there are. Are there disappointments? Yes, there are. Are there dreams that are deferred? Yes, there are. Does it take work? Yes, it does. But everything that comes along with life, as we say, it's a mix of experiences of the agony of defeat and also the thrill of victory. But the whole mix, the light parts of it and the shadow parts of it, just to be here, just to be alive, just to be breathing every day when I am in the middle of my day or in the middle of something that I'm doing, I just take a pause for the cause. I take a sila. A sila, as I've told you before, years ago, I think of as a pause for station identification. I take a pause to remember that my life here is not sponsored by me. My life here is sponsored by the Creator, whom I call God. I did not bring me here. I cannot keep me here. I am kept by the love of God, by the grace of God. So while I'm here, I want to remember that being alive is awesome. Yes, it is. Even through sometimes a trek through the valley of the shadow of so-called death, it's so good to be here breathing. As long as we're alive, we have hope of a better creation for living. As long as we're here, we have hope for the continuous transformation of our lives through the transformation of our minds. And I'm so grateful. Antonio, how wonderful it was to be blessed by your voice today. And how good to see my sister, Sari Daisy Charles, and my sister, Tony Condos, and my brother, Britt. It's just wonderful. As Brother Britt said, we are not alone. We have one another, and that is so good for us to remember. It is good for us also to remember that not only do we have one another, the children of God, we have the author of life itself with us. We have the Almighty One, whom we call God, with us in all circumstances. I love the scripture that says you can't get away from God, no matter how you try or where you go. Wherever you go, God is there. It said that even if I make my bed in hell, in the consciousness of being in hell, God is there with me, and that God is my deliverance from that experience. So knowing that we have one another and that we have the Spirit of the Almighty One with us lets us have a reason to be mighty, mighty glad and a reason to rejoice. We are continuing in our process of unfolding from what Charles Fillmore calls sense consciousness into soul consciousness under the influence of the Spirit. I love that I have more time being shut in. I have more time that is undistracted. I love being out and about. I love going outside. I love going to stores. I love going to restaurants. I love just walking in the streets and encountering people and just shining the love of God on them. I also love the activities that I've been involved in out in the world. There's generally always something to do. Like most of us, I woke up with an itinerary. Have to be here at 9 o'clock. Leave there by 12 o'clock. To arrive at so-and-so by 11 o'clock. To get such and such done. Even if what I'm getting done is just hanging out with friends. So here I am without all of those distractions. Of course, I have an opportunity to distract myself with television, to distract myself with the internet, to distract myself with a number of things. But what I'm doing here is not giving all of my time to any of those indoor distractions, but to know that the important work that I must do is the important work of the transformation of my mind into more God consciousness, into a higher degree of Christ consciousness. And the work is worthwhile, and there's always work to do. Until I am a pure cup, a pure vessel, with a complete clean inside of my cup, my work is not done. I believe that I'll be cleaning the inside of my cup for the rest of my life, and I do hope that it's a long life that I've been given or will be given so that I continue the work of the transformation of my mind. I've always been grateful for unity and for finding the teachings of Charles Fillmore for what they are able to give me as an understanding of the nature of God, the nature of myself and my relationship to God, the nature of formation, my power in formation, and my responsibility to live the truth I know. The five principles have always been impressive to me. When I first found the five principles, I think it was somewhere back in the 1970s when I first discovered Eric Butterworth, I have always loved this blueprint that the five principles have given me for living a happy, peaceful, more plentiful, more joyful, more united life. And so I depend upon the unity teachings and the unity principles to keep me on track. It is so easy for any of us to take a detour away from the truth and to travel into the wilderness of fear, the wilderness of high concern, the wilderness of loneliness and feeling that we are separate from our Creator and from one another. And so being on point is a very important thing for me. I've been receiving the message over the last several weeks, periodically, while I'm thinking about someone else and what someone else is doing or failing to do, how someone else may, in my impression and my judgment, seem to be falling short of what is possible for them to do, I get the whispered message that I always get and appreciate. Carlos, mind your own business, because mind is your only business. Your own business is your only business. It is my first business. My talk title, First Things First. My scripture, seek ye first the kingdom, queendom, moredom, alldom of God, and its right use, and then all of the things you want. all of the things you desire, the desires of your heart, will then be added unto you. If you're like me, there are times in my life, and perhaps times in your own, where we are praying for and desiring physically manifested things. We are desiring and wanting and feeling that we need more material possessions, more experiential experiences in order for us to be whole. This is called a fantasy of need. Fantasies of need. I've said before, somebody says that in order for me to dance my dance of joy, I need to find a significant other, while at the same time, someone else is thinking, in order for me to have my dance of joy, I have to get rid of my significant other. Somebody wants something that somebody else wants the opposite of, each of them believing that something from the external, either something material or relational with other human beings, can give me what I seem to be missing. And the truth is that the kingdom, queendom, moredom, alldom of God is within me. And so what I need is to go within and to make God contact. Making God contact for me is putting first things first. And as the scripture just said, if I make God contact, if I make contact with the source of all good, then all good things are mine. It's one of the unity principles that says creative thinking is heightening the awareness with God mind, and therefore brings forth wisdom, health, prosperity, and everything good. Well, who doesn't want more wisdom, more health, more prosperity, and everything good? Sometimes I think the source of these things is in the outer realm, or the source of these things is in having the right relationship with the right person. But this principle says to me, prayer is creative thinking that heightens my connection with God mind. It is my connection with God mind that brings forth all the good that my heart desires, which is why the scripture says, seek you first the kingdom, queendom, moredom, alldom of God, and its right use, and then all those things you desire will be added unto you. I remember years ago from the platform at Symphony Space, I shared with you all that I was a little late getting on the road heading to from Montague to New York City. I had a process of getting up a little bit late, rushing to iron a shirt that I hadn't ironed the night before because my iron had broken. I had gone to a store. I had bought myself a brand new iron, one more expensive and a better quality than the irons I had had previous to that. I was so excited. I got up and put my ironing board up. I started ironing my new shirt to wear to Unity of New York that day. And I began ironing and ironing and ironing. And what I noticed was that none of the wrinkles were coming out of my shirt. I pressed harder. I turned the knob up to a higher indication on the heat button. And I pressed and pressed and pressed. And still the wrinkles were in my shirt. The first thing I did was to blame the iron. I must have gotten a defective iron. Wow, that was a lot of money that I paid for that iron. Wow, it took me a while to get out of my house and drive all the way to Amherst to get that iron. Wow, I had so much faith in this iron, but this iron has let me down. It is deficient. It is not working. It's a waste of money and a waste of my time. So I got ready to put my iron away and to take down my ironing board and find a shirt that I could wear to Unity of New York. And as I took the iron off of the ironing board and folded up the ironing board and went to unplug the iron, I realized that I had never plugged it in. I had never put the iron into a connection with its source of power. This is why it is essential for me to raise my mind, raise my thoughts, raise my consciousness to the highest place possible, which I call making God contact. You know, cursing my iron when I hadn't plugged it in is such a silly thing to do, and it serves no purpose. It's like kicking your car when you run out of gas, thinking the car was at fault for you running out of gas, when it was you who would let yourself get onto E and then below E and finally run out. If I look at my life and I experience my life as not having enough peace in it, not having enough joy in it, not having enough delight in it, not feeling inspired by creativity, it is never because of what is occurring in my experience. It is never because of other people, regardless of their roles in my life, that I am experiencing a lack of joy, a lack of plenty, a lack of peace, a lack of health, or anything good. It is simply because I have forgotten to plug in the iron. I have simply forgotten that the iron needs to be plugged into a power source. And me, Carlos, I need to be plugged into my power source. And as for you, you need to be plugged into your power source. And the power source of all of us is the Almighty One, whom we call God, who is all power, is omnipotence itself. Once we are plugged in to God on purpose, which we must do on purpose, and we must do often enough to charge up our batteries enough to carry us through our life experience in peace for a while, and then we plug back in again to recharge that battery. The recharging of my battery, I'm really grateful that I have all this undistracted time, which I'm able to use to work on the transformation of our mind. Because as I said earlier, if I don't work on the transformation of my mind, if I do not make my mind my business by minding my business, what I'll start to do is I'll start to mind your business. I'll start to look out at others who I think are falling short, who aren't being all they can be. Oh, they know a lot of truth, but they're not practicing a lot of truth. I want everybody to be right where I am. Well, this is an erroneous thing. This is another big distraction, perhaps one of the biggest distractions with which I can distract myself is minding other people's business, pretending that I know what their soul's journey is all about and how they should be guided. So I'm learning when I catch myself thinking about what someone else is doing or failing to do and how their life would be so much more peaceful and so much more plentiful if they would just dot, 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 do the things that I have discovered work. I'm glad that that quiet voice comes to me and says, Carlos, mind your own business. It's so funny in moments like that. Usually the voice does not call me Carlos. Usually the voice, when it's correcting me, calls me Reverend Carlos. Reverend Carlos, mind your own business. I believe that that is to remind me that I've signed up to be a minister of God. And as a minister of God, those of you who are ministers of God, whether you are ordained ministers and preachers, whether you're licensed teachers, whether you work with prayer chaplaincy, whether you are volunteers, whatever you do, you are a minister. But especially those of us who have signed up to be ordained ministers, leaders of a spiritual